Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan Morris, how are you, my friend?
Candied up.
Yeah, we are pumped. We have been working on a secret project.
Secret project. We're not telling you what it is.
10 hours.
Yes.
We're in hour 11.
Mm-hmm.
And all I have had to eat since lunch is tiny Snickers bars.
Us and our guest,
yeah,
we all made a conscious decision.
Right.
Our guest, who we'll introduce momentarily. Sure. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe. So we needed a little pep for today's episode.
Why start being professional now?
Yeah, good idea. Because, I mean, I think people tune in for, you know, the discussion, mm-hmm. the humor, the great guests, but mainly they're here to hear some pep.
Yeah.
Some pep for their step.
Yeah. This is mostly a workout podcast.
Right.
So we actually hear from a lot of prize fighters
mm-hmm.
Who listen to this show before and during their fights.
Yeah. So, hey, all you fellas out there hitting some meat.
Yeah.
Way to go. Way to hit that meat.
Yeah.
Did they still do that, or is that just in Rocky? Or is that a known boxing thing?
I'd like to think that it's a known boxing thing.
Yeah, me too.
But probably more UFC guys do it now.
Yeah, you're right.
Like a Taekwondo guy?
Sure.
You know what's disappointing to me about Ultimate Fighting Championship or UFC?
What?
Well, there was a time when the premise of UFC was what would happen if a Taekwondo guy fought a karate guy?
Sure. What if Street Fighter was real?
But they just figured out that the best thing to do is basically just like, I guess it's like grab people to the ground and then kick them in the stomach or something.
Sure. Something that is alternately boring and horrifying.
Yeah, exactly.
Something that oscillates wildly between boring and horrifying.
Yeah, exactly. And it is a real disappointment. Every time I see it, what I want to see is like Jackie Chan fighting against Mike Tyson.
Sure.
But then what I actually see is just two guys rolling on the floor.
Sure. You want to see a guy, a yoga guy with stretchy limbs fight Blanca.
Exactly. When actually what I see is just one man holding another man on the ground and hitting his forehead over and over and over.
If you're a UFC guy insulted by what we're saying.
At gas station TV. On Twitter.
And we live
complaints.
In Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
So we decided to artificially candy up.
Right.
That's what I call it. Candying up.
Right.
Because, you know, three candy boys here today.
Classic C-Boys.
Yeah, we're just the three C-Boys.
Welcome to CB Radio.
And so, yeah, I don't know if our artificial candy pep will come across, but something fun to listen for the rest of the episode.
Here's something exciting.
Please.
Longtime listeners may know this, but I'm a migraine headache sufferer.
Mm-hmm.
My top trigger is chocolate. So we'll see what happens.
Will Jesse fall to the ground and scream?
Yeah. Yeah, welcome to Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Jesse Thorne having eaten some Snickers.
It's going to be like that scene in Scanners.
Wait, what happens in Scanners?
Your head explodes.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Right?
Maybe it'll be like that scene in Sneakers.
Flatliners?
My voice is my password. Verify.
And then you buy a Winnebago. You finally get that Winnebago you've been after.
Should we introduce our guest?
I would love to.
Our guest is a beloved comedy writer.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved by whom? The comedy writing community, I suppose.
Sure.
He's got a brand new show coming out on Amazon Prime. The pilot is up there right now. His name is Ben Gruber.
Hi.
Hi, Ben. I hope you're fine me looping you into our Candy Boy Club.
Yeah. I mean, my wife, actually, her nickname for me is Candy Boy.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, I want that.
Because
I gave
her diabetes. So she's, yeah.
Ben, you and Jesse are both.
Can we say what Ben's show is?
Oh, sure.
Sorry. Ben, what's your show?
I'm sorry. I should have said that. It's called Little Big Awesome.
There you go.
And I have, I won't say it now. But because I'm so bad with remembering names, I've printed out a list of the famous podcasters and comedians who are in the show.
Let's
Our friend
this.
Mike Mitchell's
Mike
in it.
Mike Mitchell's in it?
Mike Mitchell is in it. That's true.
Brendan Small in the pilot.
Brendan Small, that's true.
Sings, sings a very funny song about pointy objects.
That's right. The Pointy Thing song. Are we actually doing the list?
No, let's not. Let's save the list.
Okay.
Let's gab.
Let's gab, yeah.
That way we can save it for the end, so it sort of like draws people
sure.
through.
Yeah,
which of your favorite podcasters are in this show?
It's like the story of the old stalwart actress who says that she can upstage the ingenue. And
right.
the ingenue says, how? And then when they're doing a scene together, and the actress, as she's leaving the stage, puts down her wine glass half on and half off the table.
This is just like that.
Yeah.
This is just like that.
Am I the ingenue?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm the glass.
Yes. Oh, you're the glass.
And I'm the wine, baby.
Yum, yum.
Let it flow.
And Brian's the grand dame.
Yeah.
Jesse, you and Ben are both beard men.
That's true.
Do you prefer beard men or beardmen?
I prefer bearder.
Okay, you're a bearder.
Yes.
Like a birder.
Yes.
Ben, do you prefer one to the other?
Truther.
Truther. Okay, you're a truther.
Yes. Thank
you. You believe that the beards are all fake.
Yes. This is a false flag on my face.
What is a beard but a false flag for the face?
A follicle actor.
Right, yeah, sure.
But I grew my beard because of my woefully fat face, so I realized if I grew a pointy beard, kind of comes to a point, it looks like I don't have a big ball head.
That's the gift of the beard.
Yes.
Yeah. I also have a fat face. and I think ultimately, like, I am by natural, God made me to be a skinny person. And I live in defiance of his will, essentially. I have the build of a skinny person. I have no muscle tone or breadth of shoulder or anything, but I am 15 pounds overweight. So I have a little bit of fat face and then also weak chin.
I would kill to be 15 pounds overweight.
The other nice thing is I couldn't afford cosmetic dentistry as a child.
Sure.
Orthodonture of any kind.
So your flowing mustache is hiding your bad choppers?
So I got Invisaligns. I'm in the midst of Invisaligning, but I feel like when I decided to get the Invisaligns, I think I don't know that I had grown the beard yet. And like I think that by the time my teeth are straight for the first time in my life, I will not be able to enjoy it because it will be hidden behind this ridiculous mustache that I have.
Did you take your Invisaligns when you were eating your candy? Or is there chocolate shoved in your Invisaligns?
Save a little for later.
Yeah, I actually I take the Invisaligns out when I'm eating, and I put them in with a little bit of cocaine for podcasting.
Ooh, nice. Sure.
That's smart.
Yeah, they'll get that pep in there. I will say I, like you guys, also have a fat face. I'm not some coward who's hiding behind a beard. I'm just letting it show.
It's true. You proudly fat-faced.
Oh, yes. I'm here. My face is fat. Get used to it. We are family. Anyway, so I noticed as we were coming into podcasts that you guys just automatically got to have a beard guy moment.
Right.
Talking about, you know, length, care, the club house you guys meet at. It's a tree house,
the
right?
The oils, the unguents that we rub into our beards.
The unguents. Yeah.
A lot of unguents. It's a weird amount of unguents.
Yeah. What's your unguents budget every month?
It's a lot, truthfully. You know how expensive? I got to go to this place in Pasadena that specializes in unguents.
Oh, boy. Is this real?
Yeah.
You go to a Pasadena unguenture?
Yeah, it's the old-timey shaving shop. Oh, I can get my straight razors. I can get my unguents.
Wow.
It's super expensive.
Yeah, while you're up there, you can go to Pie and Burger.
Sure, you can go to Pie and Burger.
Pie and Burger, baby.
Yeah. But I was envious of the fraternity that you guys had. Just like, we're two men. We're meeting for the first time. But we have this common ground. We have this meeting point, which is beards, and we can have a moment and we can get to know each other. And I thought that was really beautiful, and I was envious of it, I'll say.
Yeah, I think it is one of the better parts of being a beardo is that you can just walk right up to Bob Mould and you immediately
sure.
You immediately have
you
know, a
maybe you don't have any opinions about Zen Arcade.
Exactly.
But you have something else to talk about.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure he's tired of talking about it.
Well, also we have shaved bald heads, too.
That, too. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Are there unguents for that? Unguents.
Yeah, you got to make sure your scalp doesn't get all dry.
Is it a different unguent than the beard unguent?
Come on.
Okay.
Yes, you're better than that. Of course it is.
Is your head all the way shaved? Are you a tooth that looks like there's a – it's hidden a little by headphones from my
angle.
Well,
this is like 3 days past the shave.
Are you shaving it yourself?
I am shaving it myself, except for those special days that I go to the barber to have him tighten up the beard. Mm-hmm. Then he'll shave my head, but mostly it's me by myself. I learned how to do it where I hold a hand mirror and I check, like, I start bouncing reflections off different mirrors in the bathroom so I can see the back of my head.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's clever.
I believe it's my traps. Mm-hmm. These little muscles, you know, that come down from your neck are huge from just having, like, holding big shavers and hand mirrors in my hands.
Do you have a special head shaving razor? Because this is something that on my drive to work, I drive past the lowest rent giant billboard that anyone has ever seen in their entire life. And it is for the Pitbull head shaving razor, which I do not think has anything to do with the semi-rapper Pitbull.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that they just picked it. It's like Baby Ruth.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I just use beard shavers on my head. Yeah, yeah. But there are those ones that you can, like, they have wheels on them and you can roll them across your head like a Hot Wheels, except it's cutting your hair while you're rolling the Hot Wheels across your head.
In my imagination.
Can you get the Batmobile?
Yeah.
That's great.
Absolutely.
In my imagination, I am not bald because. Now, hear me out, guys.
Sure, yeah.
Hear me out. In my imagination, I'm not bald because I go to the barbershop and get a haircut. So like, if from my perspective, if I had an electric razor with a clipper on it and I was cutting it very short, the fact that there is a fade, present,
I see it. Yes.
Is what constitutes non-baldness to me.
So in this world, how big's your hog?
I don't know. You'd have to ask my barber.
he shaves that too.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, it's a full service thing.
I used to live in Chelsea, in New York City.
Beautiful country.
Beautiful country. Famous gay neighborhood. I lived by a place called the Service Station that they had a special where they would hand shave your balls for you.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
My.
That's quite a service.
It is
quite
a service.
Yeah,
and it was like weirdly reasonable. I feel like it was like $15 or something like that.
Yeah. Jordan's had his taint blasted. So
I've had my taint blasted at Burning Man, and
what?
All that cost was a hug because that's currency.
It's like sandblasted, or
no? It was a man who, and I'm sorry, I'm talking this. I'm sorry, I'm talking about this on the podcast. You're coming on to promote your children's cartoon, but at Burning Man, I met a man who his thing he was giving to the community. And that's, I think, you know, the ethos of Burning Man. I don't know if you guys are burners or not. I know you're bearders.
We're bearders. We're not burners.
You're not burners. But, you know, you want to give something back. It's a money-free community. And this guy's service he was providing was taking one of those machines, those pump-action machines you'd use to, like, water a plant that's up high. And he was blasting taints. With water, and I will say I was reluctant. I think as any normal person would be, but I said yes to life, and I let the man blast, and Lordy, did it feel good.
It was cooling. Was it
cooling?
Yeah,
I mean, it's hot out there on the playa.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Dusty?
Sure.
Ben, if you do want to get your balls sandblasted, I have a friend who has a body shop.
I mean,
sure.
It could use it. It's
a body shop in the back of a body shop.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just, all right.
So that you can get some lotions in the front and then, yeah.
This sounds great.
When I first moved to LA, this is like the first 6 months in the city, I got in my, you know, my inaugural LA fender bender and got, you know, and I needed to like repair my car that the, you know, bumper was dragging off of. And I didn't know where to go. First fender bender, new to the city. So I'm like, well, I'll just go on Yelp and I'll type in body shop and I'll do whichever one is closest and that has a reasonable amount of stars. So I just typed in body shop.
To be fair, you probably went to citysearch.com.
That's how long I've been in LA. It's always funny when you see a restaurant that still has their City Search award that they won. Anyway, maybe take that down.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, so, you know, put body shop into Yelp and the first phone number came up and I called it and someone picks up and I just start rattling off what happened to the car. I'm like, hey, yeah, I got hit in the bumper. It's dragging. You know, I have insurance, but it's this company's, and I don't know who you take. And this guy in the, you know, because I was like, you know, I'm not a cool professional man, so it was just, you know.
You weren't in your suit?
I was not in my suit. Okay. No, I was just rambling. And this guy, so I'm like, yeah, and you know, someone hit me and I'm not sure, and I got his insurance and I don't know if you take my insurance or his insurance. And the guy cut me off and they're like, hey, this is a strip club called The Body Shop. Anyway.
So you got a lap dance.
So yeah, I mean, I got a lap dance.
You jizzed in your pants.
And here, you know, and you know what? They took my insurance. they take AAA at
That's
The Body
good.
Shop.
You
That's
needed
nice.
That.
Yeah.
After the stress of your...
I know. Thank you.
I'm realizing, by the way, that we might be part of another fraternity.
What's that?
Besides the Beardos. Are you wearing the Alden Indie boot?
Yeah, I am wearing the Alden Indie boot.
Oh,
I am wearing also a pair of Aldens. So we're part of the shoe.
The Beards and Boots Club.
The Beard and Boots Club.
Which is also a night at a bar in Chelsea.
That is absolutely true. Those are beautiful, by the way. Aged lovely. I don't know how long you've had them, but they are.
10 years, maybe?
That's a good looking
10
boot.
10 years?
Handmade somewhere in New England.
Oh, boy.
Beautiful.
Where in New England exactly? Connecticut? Rhode Island?
No, higher.
Oh, like Maine? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's
like
Maine.
How high does it go?
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
I believe it's Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
No, those are made in America, brother.
The Maritime Colonies.
So, I mean, you know, you guys had this immediate connection. Like, I feel like to just, like, connect with a stranger, I just have to go up to them and say, like, do you like PlayStation?
Yeah.
And then maybe they do and we can talk. But
yeah, I mean,
without that, I got nothing.
It's undoubtedly the best part of being a member of the heterosexual bear community.
Sure.
Is that you can recognize another hetero bear from across the room. And you can just come up and talk about oils.
Yeah.
By the way, you were asking about shavers for your head, for your bald head.
My head's not bald. I get a haircut once.
Oh, that's right. You get right. Actually, I do see there is a shadow there. You just
your hairline
is just a little high.
Yeah,
but there are also specialty shavers where I go to get my unguents and oils.
Sure.
There are specialty shavers for your back as well. So if you guys need
how does that work? I kind of do need that now, by the way, and I don't like that about me.
It's like a very long handle that like has joints in it,
mm-hmm.
like an action figure.
Oh, cool.
Except you put a razor at the end.
Like an action figure.
And so you can,
we all taped a straight razor to our Leonardo.
So it's like a back itcher, except instead of itching your back, you're probably cutting your skin while you're trying to get the hair off of it. But.
Now, I mean, maybe I don't know this because I'm not a married guy. Is this apparatus for single men? Do you guys...
Do they check your marital status at the door?
No, I guess it's like something you don't need because you have a spouse.
Well, you know, can I tell you my first showbiz job?
Yes,
I walked in. So I worked on Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Okay. What?
Oh no!
Oh, no. He threw down his microphone. Does he hate it? Does he love rockapella? Does he hate rockapella?
I don't know. To be perfectly honest, I've known Jesse a long time, and I had no idea he would react this strongly to knowing that someone had worked on Carmen Sandiego.
Well, I mean, it's not like you told me you worked on Square One, but this is like the second best. Holy cow.
It was an exciting job, but I walked into the host, Greg Lee's dressing room once, and his wife was shaving his back. It was fantastic. I was really excited.
And on the back was a map leading to the location of the Eiffel Tower.
That's right. There was the loot and the warrant.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had such strong feelings about Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego as a, I don't know, what were we, 10 maybe?
I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, because all I wanted to do was be on Where in the... It's the only...
Oh, yeah.
Like the way that adult trivia nerds feel about Jeopardy, where they're like, I could do that. Like I could win money on Jeopardy. That 100%. The only show that I've ever felt that way about was Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. Like, that was all I was good at in the world. And I was like, how do you get on? And there was no, you know, you just got to
be were you an East Coast boy or a West Coast boy?
I was a West Coast boy, but I was in Northern California.
That's the problem is, like, so they shot in Queens in the same studio as, like, where Sesame Street did their stuff. Actually, they shared a studio. It would be Carmen Sandiego, and then the state would take over the thing.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Wow.
But
you have a brief appearance in Porcupine Racetrack?
Yes. And I dip my balls in it.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That was when you toured the studio. Yes. Would you like to dip your balls in it?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I do remember staring at them being like, oh, you sons of bitches. I'm putting out bagels and you're starring in a sketch show.
No.
Oh, I am so mad at you.
And they were like, we also work at The Gap.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what MTV paid.
There's 45 of us.
But yeah, so Carmen basically, I think, would just cast from like people in New York.
Carrie Kenney once told me that when she was on The State, she also worked as a cater waiter, and she once worked at a cater waitering event. I mean, it wasn't a cater waitering themed event, but an event.
An event that would require a cater waiter.
The Cater Waiter Award.
Sure, yeah.
She worked in an event that required...
The Katie Waities.
Yeah, that featured the entire top brass of Viacom, including the president of MTV.
That makes sense. I used to see... Geez, there was a sketch show on Comedy Central, and... what's it called? Like Last Exit or something like
Exit
that?
57?
Exit 57?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, the early Amy Sedaris, Stephen
Paul
Colbert,
DiNello.
Paul DiNello
okay,
collab.
Yeah, so I would see some of them bartending in the Village.
Wow.
Like, it was not a great living, which is eventually why I had to move to Los Angeles. But
you were getting that Carmen Sandiego money.
I was getting that Carmen Sandiego money. Best thing that ever happened to me there. So the chief, if you remember the chief,
yeah.
Lynn Thigpen, I believe is her name. She is the lips in the movie The Warriors.
Whoa.
She's the DJ. She's like, hey, boppers. So in between
takes. She had quite a career.
She had a hell of a career. But so in between takes, she would do stuff from The Warriors for me, which was
oh,
incredible.
Wow. She's one of those actors that you're just like, oh, look, it's that person. Like an Esipatha Murthyson.
Right. It was like, you were super mean in Stand By Me.
Yeah.
But you're so nice in real life.
And you got to have all the bagels that Rockapella didn't finish.
Oh, my God, Rockapella. Not as nice. Rockapella not as nice.
No.
Oh,
wow.
No, actually, that's not true. I take that back. Some of Rockapella, very nice.
Okay.
Low voice Rockapella man
oh,
was
no.
not the nicest
bass?
Man in the world to me.
Was it just because whenever you talked to him, was it like one of those, was it like, did he have standing bitch voice?
Yes. No, he would talk in that smooth, deep voice. He was like, well, I brought him to the stage
bring me my coffee. Bring me my coffee.
I brought him to the stage too early once.
Mm.
And he was like, never do that again. It was
my wife had to stop shaving my back in the middle.
later on, Greg Lee is sort of an underappreciated comedic genius. Like what he would do when the cameras weren't running, where it was super funny. And I eventually got a pilot on Comedy Central that I wanted him to host. And he got really close, and I kept pushing for him. He did the funniest audition tape I've ever seen. I got hysterical laughing where I couldn't breathe. Everyone at Comedy Central did. But they passed him over for J.K. Van Stratton.
Our Max Fun colleague,
sure,
J.K.
Yeah.
Van Stratton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So happens that I went to an Angels game with J.K. Van Stratton not 2 days ago.
Oh, well, there you go. So J.K. was in my pilot. It was called Let's Shop America. It was Comedy Central's home shopping network. And J.K. was the host.
They just had a powwow, and they're like, listen, your guy's great. We all love the audition tape as much as you did, but we just want a man who works with rescue cats. We just
I think that was
need
it.
A man who's more well-versed.
Yeah.
And then didn't he go on to host...
Beat the Geeks.
Beat the Geeks, right?
Yeah.
And then Blanca Patros, Beat the Geeks.
So he was on that hosting run for...
Yeah.
He was going to be the next big host.
No, but, you know, now he's here in podcast world with us.
Yeah. Welcome to the sewer.
Hey, Jay Keith, go fact yourself.
Yeah. Your great new podcast that I legitimately enjoy a lot
really
and is really
funny.
Good.
It's really funny.
Yeah,
and
check
good.
Out Go Fact Yourself.
They do
the
a
way.
Really great You're job great. On that show.
Speaking of the mysteries of Carmen Sandiego.
Yes.
I had a mystery that I wanted to bring up.
Can we save it till after the break?
Why don't we take a break and then... It's mystery time.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Welcome, everyone, to the live wrestling spectacular in Los Angeles.
So far, the world's most boring wrestling podcast has been destroying the competition.
Isn't there anyone who can save us from this travesty?
Wait, could it be?
It's Tights and Fights, the perfect wrestling podcast.
Tights and Fights is here to save us from the monotony of boring wrestling podcasts with hilarious conversations.
Woke trips through the history of wrestling.
And joke about the finer points of people wearing spandex.
What a match!
And the Tights and Fights podcast will be back every week.
Thursdays on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts. Please, these hosts have families.
Tights and Fights podcast. Tights and Fights.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Ben Gruber, human equivalent of a tender head kiss.
Oh, wow.
Gruber came locked and loaded.
Pa-pow, pa-pow. Ba-boom.
And during the break, he was telling us that not only was he a PA on Carmen Sandiego, but he once put on Big Bird's head.
Yeah, that used to be my job because I'm a tallie. So I could put on Big Bird's head. I could put puppets on people's hands. I got to play, look, I don't want to freak you out again. I played a sock retort in Carmen Sandiego.
What's that?
Yeah. Oh, it's a flourless chocolate tort cake.
Oh, a tort?
Yes. A sock retort.
Oh.
It's one of those cakes that you eat and then you're like, hey, this tastes good. Oh, this tastes like shit. Like after your second bite.
Sure, sure. A couple of bites into the tort.
Yeah, there's nothing that can like get it out of your mouth.
Do you feel like you got typecast?
Yeah, it's a, yeah, I'm always playing pastries these days.
You had that nice run as a chocolate croissant on the Shield.
That's right. Oh, and I played a shark. Did you see the episode where the shark keeps going through the... No.
Do you want me to remember specific
I want you to someone to remember my on-screen credits.
Do you remember interactive television? It was like a box you connected to your TV that you could interact with your TV, like
that
answer.
That sounds very familiar.
So they had that for... Like the defining memory, the thing that drew me to my rage about how not knowing how to get. For some reason I didn't want to be on like you can't do that on television.
Yeah,
which is what I should have.
You should have wanted.
Yeah, that's extraordinarily.
I wanted to be on Double Dare.
Yeah, exactly. But
super sloppy Double Dare or just regular?
No, it's regular only.
Okay,
and not family Double Dare.
Okay,
because my dad wouldn't have participated because he wasn't an active member of the family.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Oh boy.
Yeah, that got really real.
Sorry.
I'll never
would have trip to
really
space camp
us with your feelings.
Yeah.
But I was at, I want to say, a baseball card convention as like a 9 or 10 year old. And they had a setup for interactive TV, and you got to play along with Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and I got all the questions right.
You could have cleaned up. So I had two jobs on that would give – like I'm prone to like panic attacks anyhow. But
again, not to brag.
Not to brag, but I do have panic attacks all the time.
Ooh la la.
Was your dad even absenter?
So two of my jobs on there when not putting out bagels was, you know, the board where you would look for the loot and the warrant and all that?
Right.
And how they would flip?
Yeah.
I was behind it flipping them.
Oh, wow. That's like being the scoreboard operator at Fenway Park.
It's very similar.
Yeah, sure.
And I would get so scared. I was like, what if I don't know where it is? What if I, you know, I would just – and I would sit there and I would study it and I would like – my heart would race and I'd go tell the line producer. I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And he would be like, I believe in you. That man eventually died during production. Rockapella sang at his funeral. It was beautiful. And then
did Rockapella really sing?
Yeah, they really did sing at his funeral. It was so sad. There was a lot of crying. And my other job was, you know, when they're running
Where
around the map.
In the world is our beloved friend Ron.
Swing low, swing low, swing chariot.
I did become friends with the guy who later on joined Rockapella, who would do the beatboxing.
Uh-huh.
He was a later member.
Sure.
They tried to get to urban cred.
Yeah, <that's, laughs>
you know what we need.
It worked out really well.
You know who's going to love us? Our
new album,
they had like Word Up.
Right.
They had a huge fan club. I mean, it was the saddest fan club in the entire world, but it was huge. And they would come visit the set, and they would want, like, can you get me that fake banana that they touched? And I would give them the fake banana.
I'm willing to wager, if I know our audience, mm-hmm. there's at least a few people out there with a signed Rockefeller photo that is like that has moved with them from like apartment to apartment.
Yeah.
They were legitimately great. What kid didn't
love
Rockefeller?
Yeah, sure.
They're good. Can I ask you a question,
yes,
Ben?
Yes, please.
Were they fucking?
Oh, the groupies?
Rockefeller. I mean, were they
Were they fucking the groupies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't see what. Yeah, absolutely. Because these women, like, this was like 70s rock star style worship. This was crazy stuff.
People throwing hotel keys.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. So I would say yeah. And then they'd probably go out to Astoria, Queens and get like a gyro with them or something like that.
Yeah, ooh, that sounds nice. That sounds very nice.
Astoria is cool. I like Astoria.
A lot of spiced lamb. Delicious there.
Sure, yeah.
It was really, really nice. What was I going to say? Oh, the other job I had there was, you know when the kids run around on the big map, which I'm sure you wanted to
do? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And there would be a sound effect for right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I literally had the right trigger was for right. The left one was for wrong. So I would have to memorize the map to know when they were right or wrong.
Right.
And again, it was just like another thing where I would just panic attack every single day.
You could destroy some dreams. Or
because if I fucked up, then the kids got to like restart. And so if the kid was on a roll.
Or they would become confused as to where Guam was.
Right. I also destroyed their education.
Sure.
Yeah. It was pretty exciting. And like the best and the worst of times.
I'm right now I'm just picturing you and it's like the question is like, was 9/11 an inside job? And they go, no. And you go, wah, wah.
They would not stop talking about 9/11 on Carmen Sandiego.
Which is weird in retrospect. We didn't even know what it was at the time. But
we should go back and watch the tapes.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I was there during 9/11. So come on, guys. Oh, yeah, I mean, I was in the shower in my Chelsea apartment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was.
Thinking about the spiced lamb you were going to get later in the day.
Man, listening to Howard Stern, I think.
Yeah, I never imagined that Rockefeller were capable of such an act.
I mean, it did. Right? It turned out it was them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that's correct.
That's right.
I don't read the newspaper, but I look at Facebook sometimes.
Sure. Well, that's where you get all your news anyways.
Sure.
I wanted to talk about this mystery.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know we've got a couple of Snoops in the audience.
Sure.
Maybe a couple of Snopes.
All right.
Sherlocks.
All right, gumshoes.
Sure. This fit in nicely. I do know that the internet loves to solve mysteries through podcasts.
Yeah.
For instance, where did Richard Simmons go?
Yeah.
Remember they solved that?
Right.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be left alone.
He was tired of dancing and wanted to be left alone.
What about the mystery of a grisly murder?
Sure. That's a mystery that's constantly being solved by podcast fans.
Podcasts solve that.
Oh, just general grisly murder?
No, one of them.
A new one every couple of months.
Oh, okay.
And a hot new murder.
Yeah.
The hot new murder.
So I just wanted to
What's your favorite murder?
My favorite murder? I wanted to put this out there, and maybe this is something that you guys could solve immediately, but I'm guessing
we shouldn't because we don't have any more content for this show.
That's true, yes.
Yeah, okay,
so I wanted to put this out there and just see if through, people's gumption, stick-to-itiveness, Google ability, they can maybe help me solve this mystery that's really been eating at me for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is this growth on your
yes what is this? Is this cancer? I'm gonna rub it on my microphone and you tell me if the sound of this growth seems cancerous.
Sounds good.
It sounds benign. I was visiting some friends in Orange County.
Ooh.
And I know that sounds braggy, but it's important to the story.
Right.
So
it was someone in No Doubt?
Well,
oh, God.
We'll see.
Okay.
Now, Jordan, when you say you were visiting some friends in Orange County, do you mean the glow-in-the-dark stuff that you have on layaway at the store that only sells glow-in-the-dark stuff in the Irvine Spectrum?
No, that got bulldozed for an oxygen bar.
Oh,
so all my glow-in-the-dark shit is gone. Thank you very much.
And you were like 80% of the way there, too.
Yeah. Still into oxygen bars in Orange County that just made it there.
Off to the wizard store.
Yeah, I guess so. So I was visiting some friends in Orange County, and, this visit happened. It was lovely. I find myself in the line for the bathroom at a Del Taco.
Sure.
Just things progressed that way, and I'm in the line for the bathroom at a Del Taco.
Oh, for the bathroom?
For the bathroom.
Had you already eaten your Del Taco and immediately got diarrhea?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, here's what happens. You order from Del Taco, you get in line, you eat in line, and then sit right down on the toilet.
Right, that makes sense.
It's a Del Taco life hack. especially if you've had too much Del Scorcho. And so I'm standing in a little lineup for this bathroom.
Jordan, I believe you're a bit of a heat seeker.
I'm stop using other podcast catchphrases. Sorry. On this show.
Sorry.
Oh, you're gonna hate my letter song. Oh, just I'm gonna sing
Mike
such
Mitchell.
A letter song. We did just see Mike Mitchell. Gotta love him. And Ben brought him up. So, you know, we got that on the brain. So I'm in line, and there's the dude at the front of the line. And I want you to be able to picture him because I think that's important. So he's got on a Panama hat. He's a full Adidas tracksuit, and he is like sunburned and swaying. He's like drunk and sunburned.
That you're describing a person in Orange mm-hmm. County, this sounds like a person from my childhood.
Yeah.
Like this is a guy walking down the street in my neighborhood when I was a kid.
So yeah, so this is this man.
Okay.
And so he's just kind of like waiting for the bathroom and kind of swaying back and forth.
I literally recently had the thought, why don't I see more people swaying, walking around anymore. Like, oh, because I no longer live in a place full of winos and crackheads.
Right, people are nodding out.
People are like, no fucked up me. So they're not conscious, but not so fucked up they can't walk around.
So few people itching themselves right. in my presence.
So this was not that. This is just a guy who had been like drinking all day.
Right.
At like Disneyland or something like that?
I think like at the beach.
Okay.
Like at like a beachside bar or something. So this guy's standing in line. He's kind of like looking. He's clearly like annoyed this has taken so long. And he...
Is he holding his pee-pee?
He's not. His pee-pee is in his pants.
Okay.
His arms are crossed. The man's fully clothed. And then he's looking at her. And then he notices me. And he looks at me. And he's like, oh my God, dude. How the fuck are you? And he comes over. He gets out of line and gives me this huge hug. And my thought is immediately, this is someone I went to high school with. Because I went to high school around there. And, you know, I was seeing old high school friends. So, you know, I'm like, oh, this is a – or, you know, like – yeah. Or maybe even further back. Maybe even like elementary school or this is,
but
you know.
You're pretty sure it's not your dad?
I'm pretty sure it's not my dad. Okay. Yeah, because he didn't help me win that Sega Genesis.
Got it.
By finding the flag that was in the Blue Plate Special.
Got it.
That's a thing on Double Dare.
Got it.
Anyway, good for me. So this guy's hugging me, and I don't know who he is. And he's like, oh, my God, dude, how are you? And I'm just like, good, man. Small world, huh? You know, he's like, yeah, totally. He's like, so what have you been up to? And I just don't – my thing is like, I will ride this out. How long could this last?
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, good. You know, just chilling, just here visiting some old friends. And I kind of gestured to my friends – who I'm like, oh, if he recognizes them and we went to high school, maybe this will help. But he did not recognize them.
And you're thinking maybe he doesn't have the stamina to keep this up.
Sure, yes. Yeah, this is a man who's having a hard time staying conscious at Del Taco.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, so what are you up to? I'm like, oh, you know, just, you know, a little of this and a little of that. He's like, oh, cool, man. Yeah, I know. And then so the guy in line in front of me, I guess is his buddy. And he turns to the guy, and he's like, this guy, me and this fucking guy spent, me and this fucking guy spent 8 weeks together on a bus on the Warped Tour. Who does he think I am? Who does this man think I am? I have never been on the Warped Tour. I've certainly been to the Warped Tour as a child.
As a television professional.
That's true. I did go to cover the Warped Tour when I worked at Fuel TV because that was Fuel TV's thing.
Right. You were briefly, I believe, in Paramore.
I was in Paramore. I did play keys for Paramore a little bit. So it's one of those things where I wasn't part of the band, but I toured with them.
You were the touring group.
So yeah, so this is my question to the audience is who is he and who does he think I am?
Yeah.
Who on the Warped Tour do I look enough like?
Now, can I Please. Ask you a quick follow-up question here?
Yes.
The Warped Tour is not my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that he said he spent 8 weeks in a van with you on the Rock the Bells tour?
Oh, so maybe he thinks I'm Tyga.
In that case, I believe you're U-God.
U-God. Okay, sure. Yeah. Or Tyga.
It could be Tyga.
It might be Tyga.
Let me ask you this.
Please.
Is it possible
yes.
that this is just like a rap he concocts when he sees a guy who he just wants to get a squeeze on?
Oh, he just wanted a bathroom hug.
Right.
He wanted a pre... He's like,
I got to be honest with you. I look at you.
Sure.
You got a nice soft bod that I want to get
I
up
do.
With.
No, I do.
You know what I mean?
Thank you, Ben.
I want to get a squeeze on.
Now, hold on, Ben. He's soft in all the right places. Yeah. He's hard in all the right places.
Right, absolutely.
Sure. Big, stronger calves than you might think. Stronger calves than you might think. That's what Jesse's talking about.
But maybe, you know, I could see how that would actually work as a way to, like, hug
like,
somebody.
I want to hug, so I'm going to pretend like I was on the Warped Tour with this guy.
Look, Jordan. It's all specifics, right? Mm-hmm. You learned that when you trained your improv.
That's true,
right?
Yes.
Specifics.
Yes, and...
Jordan, are you Big Tigger from Rap City the Basement?
I think so.
Okay, well, that explains that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I mean, I guess, I mean, it's like the Warped Tour is such a changing thing, you know?
Right.
It just acquiesces to whatever 16-year-olds are into that year.
Yeah.
Who are the bands? Like, oh, my God, you know who you look like?
Who?
Wait a second.
What, have we figured it out?
This is a skating festival, right?
So it is mostly like whatever the, like, genre of heavy rock music that is popular
but,
that
but then
year.
People are on a
handpipe. And skating, yes.
Yes, all right. You look like a professional skater
okay.
whose name I cannot remember.
Okay.
He is in two movies.
Okay.
He's in a comedy that I'll never remember the name of, but the woman who's in, what, like, the star of Once Upon a Time was in it.
Okay.
It's not Gleaming the Cube.
Okay.
That's a different movie.
One of those like, teen
skate
movies.
It's like a
movies.
Teen skate movie. And then he's also in one of those, he's the Dogtown one.
Dogtown
and Z-Boys.
Yeah, yeah. He was, he's in that. He hits one of the main characters who then has to get an eye operation. Do you remember that character?
Oh, I don't.
They get into a fight on the half pipe.
Okay.
He's got curly hair like yours.
Okay.
I swear to God, I think he thinks you're that skater.
This
and
is
I don't
close.
Know,
I think this is
he's
great.
A professional skater. I do not know what his name is. You can IMDb
okay.
those movies.
So I don't. Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk.
Yes, it's Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's why I've been making all those video game residuals.
Yeah,
people just assume I'm Tony Hawk and send me his checks.
Yeah.
People keep bringing up the Bones Brigade to you.
Right, exactly. Do you know Tony Alva? I think I do.
Tony Alva's the one who gets punched by this guy.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the Tony Alva character, I should say.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess the assumption is like, oh, look for a guy in a band who I look like. But, I mean, there's also
I think you really look like the skater.
Okay, so maybe I'm a skateboard guy. Or, I mean, I guess it's entirely possible that the people do like concessions travel in buses. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's a non-sexy answer to this.
You're the churro guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Me and this motherfucker sold some fucking churros to some 16-year-olds.
He would hook me up with that cinnamon sugar.
Do you think the churro guys tour with the show?
I don't know.
We got to get consistency this churro serving operation.
We can't get local churro guys.
They don't have the touch.
Yeah. We want to be able to regulate the quality of our churros.
Right. Like how some hick in Pepper Pike, Cleveland going to know how to make a churro.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think to answer your question, I think Warped Tour just kind of changes as to what the 16-year-olds are into. I think when I was going, it was like, you know, it was your Rancids and your NoFX's, but, you know, with like a pepper of like whatever the like – weird throwback was that year, like a swing band or something.
Like a Cherry Poppin' Daddies?
I absolutely saw the Cherry Poppin' Daddies on my first Warped Tour.
By the way, have you thought about that name now?
Like, I know, right?
Horrible.
Awful. Awful.
Also, their signature hit song, and I apologize, we do have a listener.
Oh, that's right. The manager listens.
Of the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Yes. Who was it that we had a question about them, and then the manager, or their tour manager answered?
Something like that. But
anyway.
We also have a listener who's a super fan, but their signature hit song is about a brutal race riot.
Wait.
The Zoot Suit Riots were a race riot in which Latinos were victimized by white American service members during World War II.
I had no idea. Yeah. I honestly thought it was just like guys wearing zoot suits having fun.
It seems like that's what they think it is, but yeah.
Sure. And it was, and that was just like a song on the radio in 1997
yeah.
by a band called that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I think the like, you know, when I was doing it for Fuel TV, it was like screamo bands. It was like thin boy men mm-hmm. with flat ironed hair. And then one of them sang and one of them screamed.
Like a Fall Out Boy?
Yeah, like a Fall Out Boy. The Fall Out Boy with a little more screaming. Ooh, and maybe a worst case scenario. And then a guy who rapped that would be thrown in there
right.
too. Like,
I always
sing like this. Wah, wah, wah. Rap, rap, rap. This is bad.
I always felt bad for the rap guy from the band Linkin Park. I sure. mean, I didn't feel that bad for them because they sold 7 right, billion sure. records somehow. Mm-hmm. But I always felt bad for that guy for 2 reasons. One, like at one point he made a solo album and like every producer and guest appearance on that was like, if I made a rap album. Mm-hmm. Like it was like like if somebody gave me – Shaq made an album like this too mm-hmm. at one point. But it was like if somebody just gave me the budget to book any hip-hop producer and any guest rapper on my rap album I wanted – that guy picked exactly the people at the time that I would have picked. Also, not a good rapper. I felt bad for him for that reason. He seemed like a nice man, but not a great rapper.
So, yeah, I just wanted to throw this out to all the Snoops. All the Snopes.
I think I honestly solved it.
Okay.
So, F all you Snopes.
Yeah.
I did it.
Brian, do us a favor. Let's go to break and see if you can find the man who punches Tony Alva in Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Yeah. And we'll find out if our guest is an ace detective. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Ben Gruber, human equivalent of a tender head kiss.
You know, every week, Jordan, Jesse, Go is supported by folks like you out there who've gone to MaximumFun.org/donate and become members of Max Fun. We're also supported this week by the folks at Away, makers of first-class luggage at a coach price.
You know, I have an Away piece of luggage.
Braggy, but continue.
I know. I hang out in Orange County, and I've got a piece of Away luggage. And I really love this thing. It's terrific. They use high-quality materials while offering a much lower price by cutting out the middleman and selling directly to you.
So this actually has a compression system built into the suitcase. I thought that was kind of incredible.
Yeah, helpful for overpackers. And this is a neat feature. They are always able to charge cell phones, tablets, and anything else that's powered by a USB cord. A single charge of the Away's carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times.
There's also a lifetime warranty, so if anything breaks, they'll fix it or replace it for you for your entire life.
And Jesse, we got a special offer for our listeners. If you want $20 off a suitcase, you visit awaytravel.com/JJGO and you use offer code JJGO at checkout. awaytravel.com/JJGO, offer code JJGO at checkout for $20 off.
What do you think is the top travel destination for Jordan, Jesse, Go listeners with their Away suitcase?
Rockapellacon. It's got to be Rockapellacon.
That's in Aruba, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? Head to Aruba, hit that con, get to fucking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I say at awaytravel.com/JJGO.
Offer code JJGO at checkout.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Ben Gruber, kissy head.
Oh, shorten
that
up. It's like a fun short version.
Yeah.
K-head.
Sure. Shorten it, longen it. Any occasion. Dress it up, dress it down.
As long as you're kissing the head, that's the important thing.
As long as you're kissing the head.
Yeah, don't fuck that up, okay?
Yeah.
That's like important.
It's very important.
Got to draw the line somewhere.
Of course.
That's my line in the sand. Don't fuck that up.
During the break, Ben's theory mm-hmm. is that the guy in line thinks I'm professional skateboarder Chad Fernandez.
I believe that was his name.
Okay. Skateboarder slash actor.
That is either his name or a parody of a professional skateboarder's name.
We learned that he plays the evil dude in the other skating, the comedy skating movie, The Grind.
One of my favorites.
Well, you love to grind.
I do love to grind. I love grinders.
And you love
my favorite kind of regional sandwich.
So good.
I love MTV's The Grind.
Sure.
Also
yeah.
great.
Love that high energy dance music.
Yeah.
That's my favorite genre.
I also loved
I don't know if y'all were ready for that, but
I loved some early sexual feelings.
Did you ever try to jack it to the grind?
It was maybe like looking at it and going like, "Okay, I think I like girls."
Yeah.
I think I like them. I think I'm ready to start liking girls, and I think I'll do that now.
As a wee boy growing up in the suburbs of Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
there was a local dance show, and there was a dancer on there. She went by Princess, but she would dress like Prince.
Oh, boy. Mm.
But, oh, my God. Like, this woman, I was a little too young to masturbate, but if I had known how to, I would have just destroyed myself to Princess.
I've talked about this.
She drove me crazy.
I probably talked about this a number of times on Jordan Jesse Go to the point where it's probably worrying people.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a YouTube compilation of Rosie Perez on Soul Train that will make you like sweat out of the tops of your feet.
Oh, boy.
Like your kneecaps will be sweating because of how intensely sexual Rosie Perez dancing on Soul Train is. Like, it is awe-inspiring.
I remember watching just from that era of television. I remember I was a big In Living Color fan
sure.
as a kid. I loved comedy. I loved sketch comedy.
Sure.
And
you love Fly Girls.
Oh, boy.
You've always been into the subtle stuff.
Sure, exactly. I like it. Right. It's kind of almost British. It's mm-hmm. so dry.
Well, I think it was like Portlandia before Portlandia.
Exactly. Yes. Thankfully. I think it's a proto-Portlandia.
In
I think
a lot of
people...
ways, it just kind of holds a mirror up to our urban elites.
Right, exactly. And I remember watching In Living Color, and then there would be a Fly Girl routine that would be so sensual that I would be taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, this is not a place for such sensuality. I'm not comfortable with these feelings.
I'm surprised you were allowed to watch In Living Color.
You know, yeah, we were...
Well, it's not like his father was around to stop him.
Exactly. Yeah, like, I don't care what you watch, kid. I'm not going to help you win that trip to space camp.
Jordan was famously not allowed to watch Pee-wee because it was too weird.
Too weird, yes. Yeah.
Which, to be fair, it is too weird.
It is maybe too weird.
You kind of seem, honestly, like a real-life Pee-wee character, truthfully.
Right, yeah. You're like
Cherry. If Cherry was a guy,
yeah,
you'd be
I'm
Cherry.
Like a, if Cherry was a guy, ooh, I might have found my new nickname.
Cherry.
We had a couple of no-no shows in the house. Mm-hmm. Pee-wee was one. Beavis and Butthead was the other, because I think my mom, you know.
I mean, Beavis and Butthead.
I worked as a PA on Beavis and Butthead.
Whoa.
Yeah, there you go.
What a career.
You got some credits, buddy. You got some credits.
Did you meet the great Cornholio?
I did.
Wow. Cool. But no, In Living Color was fine. I don't know why. I can't get into my mom's head about what was okay and what was not. The Simpsons was okay. We liked to watch that as a family, and that was like a famous show that my friends' moms were banning. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think my mom was not engaged enough in the world of popular culture mm-hmm. to know what I shouldn't watch.
I thought you were just literally going to stop it. My mom wasn't engaged enough in the world.
But, yeah.
Okay.
No, she was actively engaged in the world. But like, I sincerely think that when I was a child, she now watches a lot of MSNBC,
mm-hmm.
but she really likes Say Yes to the Dress.
Ah.
But I think that when I was a child, we used to watch Pee-wee's Playhouse together every week, and I think that was the only television show she watched.
Mm-hmm. That's adorable.
Yeah, but she wasn't like opposed to television. We had a TV in the house. It just she was too busy manically doing other things.
I was the last of six boys.
Oh wow!
So by the time I was watching television, my parents.
They're just
couldn't
watch
care
the,
fucking less.
Just watch the
like,
Playboy Channel.
I was legitimately just watching porn. Like all the
sure.
like my older brothers just had all sorts of dirt around the house.
It seems like these
care.
Red Shoe Diaries.
Yeah, they didn't care, and we had that full package,
right.
You know,
everything,
sort of thing.
All
yeah,
you
all
didn't just have Playboy Channel; you had Spice.
That's right.
Oh, hey,
really? Yes, it was incredible. It was what a childhood. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I really appreciate it.
Did they ever take you on Family Double Dare?
No.
Well,
no, they didn't.
Room for improvement.
That's
room for
a good
improvement.
Point. And as a matter of fact, it's weird that I cared about this. They took all my brothers to go see Annie on Broadway
right.
with what's her name from Sex and the City. as Annie.
Cynthia Nixon.
Cynthia Nixon. No, the other one. The main character.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker, okay, was playing Annie.
I didn't know that.
They're bringing all my brothers to New York to go see this show. They lied to me saying, like, we're just going to the market or something. You stay here with the housekeeper.
Oh, boy.
And then, like, hours were going by, and I was like, where is everybody? And it turned out they went to go see Annie.
And everybody comes walking through the door. And the sun will come out.
I legitimately remember, like, laying down in the driveway just, like, crying, just bawling. Aww. That they left me.
You're like, if you're going to leave me, then I'm going to go into show business.
That's right. I'm going to go see Secret Garden without you. And, yeah. I can't think of like other bad Broadway musicals that I wanted to go see.
I wanted to go see Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk.
Sure.
I got to. It was revelatory.
Sounds amazing.
I cried.
Yeah, wow.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Did you cry?
Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk. I totally cried.
Did you cry at Blue Man Group?
I haven't seen Blue Man Group.
Stomp?
I did see Stomp, and I wasn't nuts about it, but I was a little older.
De La Guarda, Learn to Fly?
I haven't seen that one.
Okay. I can't think of any other.
Are we just going to list?
Like the ones where you smash trash cans. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Got it. No, Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk did genuinely bring me to tears. less so Whoopi Goldberg in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which was the other Broadway show I saw as a child. Yeah.
I just saw popular podcast guest and sitcom star John Bowie. John Ross Bowie.
Ross Bowie, yes, yeah. A friend of Jordan Jesse.
Oh, there you go. He and I went to college together. But I saw him at the Gary Marshall Theater in the Laughter on the
23rd floor?
I cannot remember the name of the floor.
Laughter on 42nd Street. I don't know.
It was definitely a
23rd floor.
It was the 23rd
floor.
Vanya
on the 23rd floor.
Sure, yeah.
Yes, it was. That's right. It was great.
This is the Neil Simon play about Sid Caesar's writers.
Exactly. And Neil Simon should be – it turns out Neil Simon needs to get sued by the guy who wrote My Favorite Year, which is also about the same thing. There are very similar beats in both things. Neil Simon wrote his years later. I didn't realize that. I thought My Favorite Year was basically taken from –
But Neil Simon did – he was there at the time, but so
– I think maybe the other guy was too. I don't know. I don't know
really
who wrote My Favorite Year.
So
I'm not 100% sure.
Long after the show's over, Jesse and I will write dueling Broadway musicals about Jordan Jesse Go.
Yes,
which one is the real one?
And John Bowie can.
God, I would love that.
He's got dreams of Broadway.
Oh,
so
God. John Bowie to play Brian.
Oh, John Ross Bowie.
Yum yum.
Gonna see him next week on our secret project.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
Star study.
JRB.
Who knows what it is?
He's a network sitcom star now. That guy
sure
right?
is.
God
Ching.
Bless him. Good
yeah.
for him.
Deserves it.
Using his network sitcom star cachet to star in plays in Burbank.
Well, I think honestly he's like trying to get his chops up so he can get to Broadway. I think that would be his like ultimate goal.
I think that's true. There is no more passionate exchange than if you get John Ross Bowie and Jimmy Pardo in a room.
Right.
Just say the name of Stephen Sondheim or something.
Sure. Watch him go. You just say assassins.
Yeah.
See what happens.
John Ross Bowie once made fun of me for having gone to an arts high school. And he's like, oh, what play did you do in high school? Mother Courage and Her Children. And I was like, yes, I did do
That's
Mother Courage and Her Children in
Sweet
high school.
Sweet burn.
Yeah.
What, were you in Gypsy? I don't know.
Aww.
When something momentous happens to you, like you get into a musical theater conversation with John Ross Bowie, the one and only, we ask that you call us at 206-984-4FUN. That's 206-984-4FUN. And the way to do it is put it in your phone. 206-984-4FUN. Well, it's in your head right now. Put it in your phone. 206-984-4FUN. For our segment, Momentous Occasions, here is our first such occasion.
Hey, Jordan, Jesse, guest. This is Mike calling from New Jersey. I got a momentous occasion for you. It is Sunday the 15th, and I just got back from my Boy Scout camp I've gone to for the past 15 years. Because we were touring about 500 people through. It's because the Boy Scout camp I've been to is where they filmed the iconic Friday the 13th movie. So I got to basically play Jason and tour people around the place where I learned how to cross old ladies, you know, over the street. So, bunch of clips. Get them. Have a great one.
Crossing old ladies over the street, by the way, is what you do if you run into a possessed old lady.
Sure, right. He played Jason, am I?
On the tour.
So wait, they have people jump out?
He's been, for okay, number one, my first concern
is, like not
is that
scary
he's
farm?
Been going to this summer camp for 15 years.
Sure,
that
yeah.
That seems too long.
Right.
Like, when do you start? When you're 9, right?
Right, well,
they,
yeah.
For the past 10 years, they haven't realized he was there.
Yeah.
But he's still been going.
That is too long to go to a summer camp if you started going when you were 1.
Yeah. He's attended the summer camp for 9 years, and then for 6 years, he skulked at and around the summer camp.
Right. Do you think, now, this is just a pitch for this guy and, mm-hmm. you know, the camp, and I don't know who makes these decisions, the camp director, the administrator, or a board, or whatever. I'm not familiar with camp politics.
Maybe Jason.
Maybe Jason. Here, kick it up, because, I mean, clearly there's a lot of repeat business here. This guy's been going for 15 years. Next year, when you're leading people around, Jason comes out and then fights Freddy.
Oh.
I think people want to see that.
And then Predator fights Alien.
Whoa! Next level. Yeah. Yeah.
And then Jackie Chan. No,
we just went down a level.
Sure. Just end up rolling around on the floor.
And then you all make God's eyes and drink bug juice.
Yeah. Did you go to summer camp, Jordan?
I did not go to summer camp.
Did you go to summer camp, Ben?
I went to summer camp my whole life until my final year. I went to some camp on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Wow.
Beautiful Lake Winnipesaukee.
Wait, until your final year? You mean like before you were stricken with cancer?
Yes, exactly.
My final year.
Oh, by the way, guys, I'm dead.
Oh.
I was
Wait,
never here.
We've been talking to your go-go-go-go.
That's right. No, I just remember I went to this. The old camp I went to, Lenny Lenape was the name.
Okay.
I think closed down, so I went to this new camp on Lake Winnipesaukee.
I'm pretty sure that's a sitcom character from the 70s.
That's right, Lenny Lenape. I just remember being so unhappy, and I was already way too old for this, but I just remember crying a lot at camp.
Sure.
And I was like, Mommy, Daddy, you have to take me home. I can't be here.
I don't want to be killed and made into a trophy by the Predator.
Wait, the whole way through?
I was like after week one or two, because like one camp I was like doing plays, and then somehow I wound up at like a real sporto camp.
Sure.
And I always blamed it on the fact that I'm very tall, so I've never had any physical coordination because I'm always growing. That wasn't true. I just was a fat, shitty athlete. So this was not the camp for me, and I was just like super upset the whole time. And eventually, I cried so much, they did bring me home. And that was the end of camp for me.
My camp experience at St. Dorothy's Rest in Northern California, an Episcopal...
Sounds fun.
Episcopal overnight camp that I attended several times was... I feel like most kids who go to summer camp, their struggle is with being apart from their family and their parents. But for me, as the child of divorce... I was so emotionally alienated from both of my parents and all other people, as today, it was no problem. That part was no sweat. I already was basically just like taking care of myself, you know. So it was no concern at all of mine. It really came down to my distaste for the camp. Ultimately, came down to my. Distrust of trees.
Sure. You don't know what's going on in there.
Yeah, like...
Bee's nest? Owl? Couple?
Wait, where are you from?
I'm from San Francisco.
Okay.
And I don't... Yeah, I just... I like, only as a now 37-year-old man, only in the last 4 years have I... I still do not want to go camping.
Because of trees?
Because... I just don't know what it's all for.
Sure.
Like, what am I trying to do here?
I will say, so a friend of mine married a woman from Orange County, your hometown.
Yeah. Braggy, but keep
yes,
going.
Yes, that's right. I went to a wedding with them in Connecticut, which is, of course, famously treed.
Sure.
And she was legitimately freaking out. Maybe it's a California kid thing, but she was like, look at all these trees. She's like, anything could be hiding behind these trees.
Yeah.
This place is terrible.
And they have White Castles instead of In-N-Out Burgers.
Which is also terrible.
Yeah. No, you don't like In-N-Out Burger?
Maybe
I'm not going to fight you on that, but I disagree.
No, the White Castles.
The White Castles are bad. Which are you saying is worse, White Castle or In-N-Out Burger?
White Castle is way worse
than
In-N-Out
Burger. Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
In-N-Out Burger is pretty good.
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's astonishing for $3.
Sure. Anyway, let's listen. Again, we don't want to steal another podcast.
Oh, that's all right. That's right. I'm just warming
You're
up.
You're the one who brought up Del Scorcho.
That's true. I did bring up Del Scorcho. Anyway.
A brother of mine, I believe, was famously arrested for smoking crack on his way to a White Castle in Yonkers, New York.
And that was the basis for Harold and Kumar.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, love those movies.
It did get him off drugs, though.
Oh,
because he said, I was sitting in jail going, I just smoked crack. I really better take a look at my life.
Sure. And that was his food choice.
And I don't even have those tasty sliders.
Oh, he didn't get with those little onions on it? No.
Yeah. Anyway.
I've never had White Castle. Have you ever had White Castle?
I have never had White Castle either.
It's disgusting. Like, if you just want, like, steamed, just eat a steamed onion. It's like,
sure.
That's what it tastes like.
Okay. Well, I mean, that doesn't sound half bad.
Yeah, it might be nice.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
How's it going, everyone? I'm Oliver Wang.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes. We have a brand new show on the Maximum Fun Network that we'd love to share with you. It's called Heat Rocks.
Morgan, we should probably explain what a heat rock is.
It is a banger, a fire track, true fire.
Right, dope album. Each episode, we will bring on a special guest to join us to talk about one of their heat rocks. It might be a musician.
A writer.
Maybe a scholar.
I mean, I would have been happy to just talk to you about your heat rocks, but this is a different show.
Yeah,
so.
I think people might enjoy hearing maybe the guests instead.
To do that, you'll have to go to MaximumFun.org. So if you want to talk about hot music, you should check us out.
Heat Rocks.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Ben Gruber, kissy face.
If you talk about a list in the first act, and I don't mean to get all screenplay seminary on you, but if you talk about a list of podcast celebrities,
take it home,
first,
Robert McKee.
If you talk about, did you know Robert McKee is doing comedy seminars now?
Oh boy,
I know, it's truly incredible.
We should probably go. Do you think it'll make the podcast better?
I think the podcast is beyond saving, but we should probably go for the next phase of our career.
Sure, yeah.
Once this is inevitably canceled,
and I bet you get
is he the Save the Cat guy?
That's a different
guy.
Is that
Save the Cat guy died.
He's the adaptation guy.
Okay.
Yeah. He's the guy who has parodied an adaptation.
Okay.
Or tributed, or whatever.
Do you think he has the ability to save the cat?
I think he could save a cat, but he's no J. Keith Van Stratton.
Sure, yeah. A man who's dedicated his life to saving the cat.
Yeah. Okay.
Does Robert McKee own a ladder? Who knows? They get cut in trees.
So, Ben, you've got a list. You got a new television program coming out on Amazon.
Yes. Little Big Awesome.
You cast a lot of major celebrities on this program, genuine famous people, such as Dave Franco.
That's true. He plays Freedom Toe Dave.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird Al.
Weird Al. Amy Mann. And then it gets even more famous. Jessica McKenna.
Whoa.
Yeah, you've heard of Off Book.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You've heard of Party Over Here.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I have heard of Party Over Here. Party Over Here was good.
Did you write for Party Over Here?
No, I wish.
Okay. No. All right. But it was
Nick Weiger.
Nick Weiger was the head writer.
Ryan Perez wrote for Party Over Here. Heather Campbell wrote for Party Over Here.
Then we got what? Lennon Parham.
Sure.
Playing House.
Past Jordan Jesse Go guest.
Absolutely. All right.
It's been Jordan Jesse Go.
Super Delight. Paul Scheer.
Sure. Yeah.
Another past Jordan Jesse Go guest.
Absolutely.
June Diane Raphael.
Hey.
Another past Jordan Jesse Go guest.
Someone who's seen Paul Scheer nude.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe. We don't know that. Don't put words in their mouth.
Who knows how those babies got in there?
Sure.
Kate Micucci of so many things.
Micucci's all over the place.
She is. Maybe he never has been on Jordan Jesse Go.
Really? That's surprising.
We should change that.
We should get Kate Micucci in.
Another delightful young lady.
Absolutely.
Kate Micucci. Mike Mitchell we talked about,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, we can go past that.
Betsy Sodaro.
Oh, sure. Betsy Sodaro is hilarious.
Great. She plays Puddin' Peggy.
Puddin' Peggy.
That's right. She runs a water park that's, instead of water, it's pudding.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
It's really gross. Nicole Byer.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Ooh, talented young woman.
Yeah. Michael Bolton, who we forgot to mention. Big star. Legit big star.
He's actually one of our most beloved recurring guests here on Jordan Jesse.
Michael Bolton came to shoot his. There's some live action. There's actually live, like actually a fair amount of live action.
So it's animation. There's some puppets.
There's puppets.
There's some kitties.
There's people in suits. Like Weird Al and Amy Mann play the sun and the moon, but they're just putting on like headdresses.
Great.
So do you see the whole thing as just a Baron Munchausen?
Yeah. It's essentially, I stole Baron Munchausen. also, I'm going to kill my child because I have Munchausen.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Excellent.
So I have that as well.
And you're going to say something that really upsets people because you're Terry Gilliam.
That's right. Michael Bolton flew in to do his shoot. He had just come from like Japan where some billionaire paid him to play his birthday party. He's backing up his Bentley. He hits a pole, dents his Bentley. Someone actually guided him into the pole. It was the most ridiculous thing.
Oh, wow.
But he dents his Bentley. I was like, well, that's it. He's not going to do the show because that's $25,000 worth of damage right there.
Right.
Bolton apparently has done pretty well because he's like, eh, well, and walks inside.
Bolton's a pro.
Yeah.
Bolton's
a
pro. Got comprehensive.
Maybe that's it.
He's going to call up the body shop and ask for a lap dance.
Yeah. There you go. Bringing it back around. We don't need McKee.
Nope.
We don't need McKee.
Well, this was like the most successful Harold of all time. Yes,
that's what Robert McKee calls the prestige.
The prestige. Yeah.
Well, Ben, it's been a joy to have you on the program.
Thank you. It's been a joy. This is my first podcast. It's very exciting.
You handled yourself really well.
Oh,
I would have thought this was your third podcast.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Besides that fancy shaving store in Pasadena that you like to go to.
Yes.
Which I'll have to stop by on my way back from my therapist's office.
Okay.
Where else can people find you? Are you on the Twitters?
No. I mean, yes, I have an account. I don't do any of that stuff.
Okay.
I'm too lazy. I don't know what to say.
And about your time on the set.
Sure,
right.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like you've got a wealth of material.
I will say, if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, I will be saying that I did this podcast on Facebook. And asking you to listen. But I don't really Twitter or do any of the other stuff.
Do you
stuff.
Think you could get, like, I don't know, John Gabris or something to listen?
Oh, that's
yes,
great.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I can.
What podcast celebrities can we get into the mix
John
here?
Gabris will. He will listen. Andy Daly.
I would love it if Andy Daly would listen.
Andy Daly and John Ross Bowie and I were in a sketch group in college.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's a dream.
Right? Can you believe it? And then I realized I was shitty as a performer.
We were just in a sketch group with Jim.
Yeah, our friend Jim was in a sketch group with us.
He didn't become Andy Daly.
He's some kind of microscope scientist now.
Guy.
That's pretty cool, though.
That is good.
Jim's pretty cool.
Jim's great.
That's pretty cool.
Jim's a great guy.
But people can basically just go to Amazon, Little Big Awesome, the 27th.
It is very, very funny. The pilot is up there as we speak.
Don't watch the pilot. Wait till the 27th.
Okay.
our friend Lauren has a sausage restaurant in Austin.
Yeah,
Lauren Labkiss?
No.
Wait a second.
Lauren Pasternak.
Yeah. This is unfortunate.
Listen, the sad part about our sketch group is we're the most successful members.
Yeah.
No, actually, Jim and Lauren are more successful than us. Never mind.
What was it?
Not in showbiz, but just in life, they're doing better.
What was the name of your sketch group?
Prank the Dean.
Oh.
Pretty, you know, it's an embarrassing college comedy group name, but not the most embarrassing.
It's
not
like,
you know, it's not, you know, dishwasher dildo captain.
We were the Nothing Special.
Okay.
Okay.
At Ithaca College.
Yeah.
We had a TV show on the Ithaca Television Network.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And people from that went on to.
God, you must have. No wonder you resented the state.
I really did, because we kind of graduated near the same time.
It's not like there was an improv group from UC Irvine making it big at the time.
Right, yeah.
But who really got screwed is Andy Daly and this guy, Andrew Secunda.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who's a UCB guy and an executive producer on the Goldbergs now. But they got to
also
New York.
Also been on this show.
Oh, there you go. So they got to New York and were doing sketches and stuff and their own shows. And they kept like sort of getting picked over for the state people. And they like, you know, they legit had a shot, not like me, but I don't know. And then it just wasn't their time. They're doing all right now. If YouTube had been around, I think, when they were doing their sketch stuff, they would have had a show on MTV where they didn't get paid.
We still get to enjoy Andy Daly.
You do.
We still get to enjoy the Goldbergs as executive produced by Andy Secunda.
That is true.
Oh, we're not
there. Also, somebody else who's going to be in our secret project next week.
Andy Secundo.
Every time I see Andy Daly's television commercials, he is the spokesperson for a brand of car dealer.
That is true.
Or hear his radio commercials, which run on every baseball broadcast that I listen to. I just think, like, yeah, Andy Daly!
Getting paid.
Yeah.
Even in college, like, you were like, Jesus, this guy is ridiculous. And you start to realize, like, what the term comedian means.
Sure.
It's like you almost have to, like, have been schooled in comedy to realize how great he
is. Sort of like shut-ins comedians.
Yeah. If you've never been to a comedy show, you love this.
Exactly.
So, you're a dumb person's idea of what a comedian is.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, like president. Never mind. I don't want to get political. I won't get political.
Thank you. This is not a political show.
Yes, this is not
show.
A political thing.
Apolitical.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair.
Oh, boy.
We don't like to get political here, but once in a while.
Yeah.
In Washington, D.C.
Oh, boy. Okay. This is a running thing.
Under the Capitol Dome.
Yeah. Okay. You can just...
There's a set of nose-honking clown boys.
A running thing.
For whom I have nothing but contempt. Mm-hmm. My contempt bubbles up from me like the bubbles in their seltzer bottles. These clown lads and clown lassies driving tiny cars and riding the flying trapeze of legislation.
Are you saying it's a circus over there?
Make me feel sick. Like I ate too many peanuts of a certain kind.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Like Nancy I ate Pelosi, too much, so... fuck you.
Well, too specific. General contempt. For the clown.
Our producer is Brian Sunny D. Fernandez. He's the one you hear laughing through the wall. Always nice to have Sunny D there. You can hashtag it JJGo on Twitter and join us on Facebook where you can like Jordan Jesse Go. You can also join us on Reddit at MaximumFun.reddit.com. The only nice Reddit ever.
Yeah, it's a very nice Reddit.
I bet there's a mean, like, pictures of bunnies Reddit.
There might be.
But the Max Fun Reddit's always great.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun there. And our thanks again to everybody who supported us in the Max Fun Drive. If you haven't listened since then, we're so grateful to you and thank you so much. We tip our caps to you for making this show possible. And thanks to everybody who's tweeted about the show, said hello. And hey, how about this, Jordan?
Yeah.
This is the week. Apple Podcasts.
Oh, yeah, you have to write a review. Get in there. Write a review.
Apple Podcasts, get in there. Review Jordan, Jesse, Go. And don't – here's the one thing I ask. Don't ironically give it less than 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while somebody will be like, well, I got to give it 3 stars because – and then it's a joke reason.
Sure. That hurts us.
Yeah, that makes us feel bad. Don't do that.
It hurts our numbers, too.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.